Let the church say amen. Bless the Lord. Is everybody feeling good this morning? Yes. Half as good as I'm feeling? Yes. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. There's three reasons why I'm excited this morning. One reason is because in spite of all that has happened in this world and in our personal lives, God is still in control. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Secondly, I'm excited this morning because in spite of the fact that we've all sinned and come short of God's glory and we do not deserve to hear from him, but there is a word coming from the Lord. And thirdly, I'm excited that you all this morning, you could have stayed at home, but you chose not to. You chose to come out and to fellowship one with another. And because you've done that, give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We're just as thankful for being here as can be. And we give God all the glory, the honor, and the praises. While on my way here this morning, I was listening to 96.3 and they were playing gospel music. And they played this one song by Brother Walter Hawkins, and he was talking about going away. He said, "I'm going away to a prepared place," and he kept saying in the song, "It won't be very long." And you know, saints, I just realized that it won't be long before we'll all be gone. Amen. Away to that special prepared place. And so we're just thankful to God for the promises that he's made unto us. But unless we keep you too long, we want to call your attention to the book of 2 Peter. Amen. 2 Peter. And we're going to be looking in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Chapter 1. If you're there, we say amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read three verses to you, verse 3, 4, and 5, and we'll stop there, and we're just going to do one part of the message today. When I come back second Sunday next month, we'll do the second part of the message. Just too much for me to get through this morning. Beginning at verse 3, it says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge." I want to talk on this subject just for a little while this morning, the truth concerning who we ought to be. The truth concerning who we ought to be. And my subtopic is going to be because of this, because of this. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Merciful Father and our God, which art in heaven, we just pause for just a moment to say thank you, Father, for who you are and for what you've already done in our lives, for what you're doing right now, Father, and especially for what you're going to do in the future. We ask for forgiveness of all of our sins, that we may be holy and acceptable in thy sight. We ask, Father God, that you would tear down any strongholds that perhaps Satan has already attempted maybe to build into the minds of even these your very own people. And then we ask, Father God, that you would not allow your words to be confounded to these four walls, but that they would penetrate our hearts, and that Father God, we will go out rejoicing in it, not only in the joy of our salvation, but Father God, in the fact that God, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And then Father God, I pray for little old me, that you would give me a supernatural amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and especially strength, Father God, this morning, that I may carry out this task that you've given me, Father. So Lord, we just thank you in advance, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. The truth concerning who we ought to be. We saw earlier, or rather we heard earlier, when Brother Kevin read in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, where Peter spoke to those who were in Pontus and Galatia area about the fact that there were some scoffers there. There were some people who were teaching false doctrine. And what had happened was Peter had written to them in 1 Peter, and he was dealing with them about the problem of persecution, in which the church faced at that time. And so Peter wrote that letter. But the church was no longer facing persecution at this time, but now trouble has loomed within the ranks of the believers in the form of heresy. And so in the first letter, the problem was persecution. But in this letter, the problem is that there's false teachers, and the people are teaching the people that they no longer have to do certain things or put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so Peter sends this letter as an antidote to the problem that's taking place down in Asia Minor. And second, Peter anticipate that there's going to be error in people's lives. Can I get a witness this morning? No matter who you are, no matter how long you've been living for the Lord, if you live long enough, there's going to be some error in your life. There's going to be some mistakes that we're going to make. And so Peter writes this letter, and he reminds the people that mistakes are going to be made. But he says, I want you to understand that you can get prepared in such a way that you can cut down on the amount of mistakes that will be made in your life. And so Jude writes to say that the heresy is already in the church. And Peter basically writes to say that it's on its way. And so we must understand that many have suggested that Peter and Jude were contending with the philosophy known as Gnosticism. And Gnosticism is a problem that was in that church, which is also in many churches today. And that problem is where people feel like because they have a great knowledge of the word of God, they feel like they're better than other people in the house of God. Can I get a witness here? But I stopped by to tell you this morning that no matter how much knowledge you have of the word of God, it does not change the fact that we've all sinned and come short of his glory. And so therefore, we must understand that the people were being taught that if you know a lot, you're going to be all right. And the people were also being taught that when Jesus came and suffered and bled and died on Calvary's cross, that he only came in the spirit and was not in the flesh. But I stopped by to tell you that he was in the flesh, because my Bible tells me that the word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Am I right about it? So therefore, Peter tells the people in chapter 3, he says, you all don't listen to these false teachers. He says, they're telling you that because the Lord has been gone for 2,000 years, you may think that he's not coming back. Oh, but I stopped by to tell you this morning that he is coming back. And he's coming back for a church without spot or without wrinkle. And so Peter says the Lord is coming back. And he says, just like in the days of Noah, the people thought that it was not going to rain because it had never rained. But don't you know when Noah went in the ark and shut the door, that the rain began to come down and the earth was flooded? And once the earth was flooded, the people started knocking, but they couldn't come in. You ought to touch your neighbor there and say, you better come on in before it's too late. Good God Almighty. And so Peter tells them, he says, just as the Lord spoke and it came true, he says, I want you to know that the Lord is going to speak. He said, and the earth is going to be consumed and the Lord is going to come back. And we find in chapter 1 here, we find that there are some things that I want to bring to your attention this morning. First of all, we find in chapter 1 where the Bible says that Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so we find that Peter is the writer of this epistle. It's a general epistle, which means that it was not written to just a particular church, but to all of the saints of God. And so even to us today is this letter written to. And the Bible says Simon Peter. Now I want to stick a pin there, because we know that Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And I want you to know that in spite of Peter denying the Lord 3 times, he's still writing this letter for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that ought to help somebody this morning, that in spite of mistakes that you made in your life, the Lord still wants to use you. I wish I had a witness in this place. God has been so good to us. He's a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that's important, because you see, Peter was an apostle. He walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. He talked with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that this book is written to people who have like faith as Peter. Come on, somebody. In other words, even though we didn't walk with the Lord and we didn't eat with the Lord, but if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that Peter said, you got the same faith today that I had when I walked with the Lord. The same faith that Peter had when the Lord fed the 5,000. The same faith that Peter had when the
Lord opening blinded eyes. He says, we got the same faith today, good God Almighty. And so he goes on to say, he said, I want y'all to have grace and I want you to have peace. And he says, I want it to be multiplied to you. He says, but the way it's multiplied to you is through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch your neighbor and say, if you're going to have any grace and peace, you got to get some word in you. Come on, somebody. Don't make me preach this thing by myself. You got to get some word in you if you're going to have grace and peace. Good God Almighty. And so therefore, there are three things I want to tell you this morning. Three things I want to tell you. And these three things are our responsibilities, not the Lord's responsibility. As a matter of fact, when you look down at verse 5, it says, and beside this. Now, we know in verse 3 and 4, we talk about divine power. We're talking about all the things that we have been given unto us pertaining to life and godliness and the fact that it comes through knowledge. And we know that God has called us to something, which means that we have a responsibility. And we know that we've been given great and precious promises from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that by these that we might be partakers of his divine nature. And we know that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world. And the Bible says in verse 5, and besides this, in other words, it's saying not only beside this, it's saying because of this. And so what Peter wants us to understand is that because the Lord came, because he lived a perfect life, because he died on the cross, because he was buried in a barred tomb, because he got up early on last Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. Because he got up early last Sunday morning with all power in his hands. Now there's something that we got to do this week. You see, the Lord died on the cross and he said, it is finished. In other words, everything that needs to be done for you, it has been done for you. But he says, now there's some things you got to do for yourself. And he says in verse 5, he says, besides this, he says, you got to do some things. The first thing he says you got to do is, he says, you got to give all diligence. Now, what's he talking about? He says, you got to bring in zeal and you got to bring some effort to the table. Good God Almighty. You see, it's time out for those of us who feel that the Lord's going to bless us when we won't get out of bed, we won't come to church. We got to get up and come to the house of God. We got to get up, come to God's house, and we got to listen to the word of God. We got to be encouraged by the word of God. And I want you to know that the Lord is going to bless us. We got to come with zeal and we got to come with effort. We got to bring some energy and the Lord will bless us. Giving all diligence is what he says. Now, the word giving here means to bring in or to supply. He says that we have the ability to supply what we need. Just like when we get hungry and we get in our cars and we drive to the store to get some food for the physical body. The Lord says we got the ability to get in our cars and drive to God's house and get some food for the spiritual body. He says we got the ability to supply what we need. It implies making a strong effort to provide something necessary, something that we need to be successful for the Lord. In view and parallel of God's endeavor in providing salvation, believers are compelled to call on all their regenerate faculties to live godly lives. 2 Peter 3:11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, he says, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Believers must carry out that effort with all diligence. In other words, he says you got to have zeal. Don't you remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus? He was going to persecute the Christians, and it was in the heat of the day. And the Bible says that Paul fell off his horse because the Lord knocked him down. You see, that's zeal when you are riding a horse in the heat, in the hottest point of the day. And that says to us that we got to have fervency and we got to have zeal to do what the Lord has called us to do. It means to be eager. In other words, it's accompanied with a sense of urgency. That means tomorrow's not promised, so we got to work while it's day because we don't know when nighttime is coming. Am I right about it? We got to apply ourselves to it as if it's going to be accomplished. And I heard somebody say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Am I right about it? So we got to bring zeal and we got to bring effort. Because the Lord died, because he got up, we got to come with zeal and we got to come with effort. We got to know if the Lord paid the price, then we got to know he's going to bring, if he brings us to it, he'll bring us through it. Good God Almighty, the second thing that Peter says we got to do is, he says here in verse 5, he says, you got to add some things. Peter says you got to add to your faith virtue. Now, I can't pass by the word faith, because the word faith here, it means that you got to be born again. You see, you can't come with effort and you can't come with zeal if you have not been born again. Can I get a witness here? You see, it doesn't do any good to come to church on Easter Sunday morning if you are not going to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you can come on sunrise service morning, you can hear the preaching of the gospel, and you can leave out the same way that you came in. But what you fail to realize is when you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a sure foundation. And once you got your foundation, you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ can begin to build on that foundation. Can I get a witness here? He said you got to be born again. He says add to your faith something. The word faith here means to be persuaded about something. It means to have a moral conviction. It means to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And you see, saints, faith is the ground in which the fruit of Christian sanctification begins to grow. You see, Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm glad I've been born again. I'm glad that Jesus paid the price on Calvary's cross. And then the third thing that Peter says here is, he says, adding to your faith, he says, virtue. Lord have mercy. In other words, the word add here is talking about, it derives from a term which means to be a choir master. I said choir master, not choir director. You see, anybody can get up and direct a choir, but a choir master was responsible for supplying everything that was needed for the entire group. Can I get a witness? And thus the term for choir master came to refer to one who supplies what is needed in the time being. You see, believers have got to supply some stuff. The Lord done paid the price, but we got to supply some things that we need that the Lord has already paid the price for. It means to give lavishly or generously. You can't just supply a little bit of stuff, but you got to supply what's needed to be who God has called you to be. It means to be alongside all that Christ has provided, all the virtues that's required to maintain the assurance of salvation. You see, Luke 10:20 says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Romans 5:11 says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement for our sins. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to preach to somebody that's got the Holy Ghost this morning. Somebody that knows that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody that knows that Jesus walked the face of this earth. Somebody that knows that Jesus was better to us than we were to ourselves. Somebody who knows that Jesus opened blinded eyes. Somebody who knows that Jesus fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Somebody who knows that when Lazarus was dead, that all Jesus had to do was speak a word and say, Lazarus, come forth. And even in a dead situation, the Lord can put life back into it. I want to preach to somebody that knows that you have the power to supply what you need. You got the power to go into your prayer closet, and you got the power to get on your knees and say, Jesus, I need some peace this morning. You have the power to say, Jesus, I need some love this morning. You have the power to say, Jesus, I need some patience this morning. moment. I stopped by to tell you, church, that the Bible teaches us in this passage that according to God's divine power, he's given us all the things that we need. And so the truth about who we ought to be is that we ought to be a child of God, but we got to add some things to who we are. And we realize that Jesus died, that he paid the price, that he did what we could not do. And that when he got up on Sunday morning, he has all power in his hands. And now we got the power to love right. We have the power to walk right. We have the power to forgive right. Touch your neighbors. I don't care what you've done. I forgive you for all that you've done, because the Lord forgave me for all that I've done. What manner of person ought you to be? We ought to be honest with one another. We ought to love one another. We ought to share with one another. We ought to encourage one another. We ought to support one another. We ought to be there for one another. I believe I got some supporters here this morning. Don't you know that the church is a group of people who was called out of darkness into his marvelous light? And God said, I'll take a nobody and make him a somebody. Come on, somebody. All of us, when we were in darkness, we were nobodies. But one day the Lord stopped by our house, knocked on the doors of our hearts, and said, if you put your trust in my son, I'll make you somebody. Come here, Peter, James, and John. He went down by the Sea of Galilee and said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. You see, these men didn't have an education, but the Lord stopped by and touched their hearts. Aren't you glad about it this morning? You see, because Jesus got up, you ought to be somebody for the Lord. You see, sometimes we get caught up in what somebody else says that we are, who somebody else says that we are. But I stop by to tell you, it doesn't matter who I say you are. It doesn't matter who you say I am. But the Lord says, good God Almighty, he says, that's my child. We have often said that Jesus is a lawyer in the courtroom. Don't you know that the devil goes before God and tries to accuse us of stuff? Come on, somebody. But I stop by to tell you that Jesus stands up in the courtroom and he says, Father, he said, though they might be guilty, he said, I died for it. I paid the price. They've accepted me. And God stands up, hits his gavel on the desk, and says, case dismissed. My son has paid the price. Am I right about it? Somebody does not believe in the world today that Jesus is coming back. Somebody doesn't believe that the Lord's going to destroy this earth. But my brother read earlier that he's coming back, that he's going to destroy this earth. And when he comes back, the saints won't be here. Am I right about it? So we got to get busy now. We got to be who God called us to be. What manner of man ought you to be this morning? Am I right about it? Isn't he all right? Isn't he a good God? Some say he's the lily of the valley. Some say he's the bright and morning star. Some say he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Some say he's bread when you're hungry. Some say he's water when you're thirsty. Some say he's a friend when you're friendless. Some say he's money when you're broke. Some say he's healing when you're sick. Am I right about it? Some say that he is water in a thirsty land. Some say that he's Mary's baby. But I say he's the man from Galilee. He'll set you free. You know, sometimes when you're riding down the road and it seems like you're all by yourself, you just look to the hills from which cometh your help. And you know that all of your help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Ain't God all right? I feel good right about now. I feel like my helper has come on. I've come to have church this morning. I've come to tell you that Jesus is my all in all. That Jesus, he keeps me. He rocks me to sleep at night. He wakes me early in the morning. He gives me traveling mercies when I go from place to place. Ain't he all right? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. You got to bring zeal and effort every day of your life. When you get up early in the morning, you got to say, God, I'm bringing something to the table. You woke me up this morning to use me however you want. You ought to lift your hands to the hills and say, Lord, I thank God that you died on the cross and that I've been born again. I've been set free. Am I right about it? Every morning you ought to be reminded that you have the power to supply what you need. Am I right about it? It ain't your boss on your job that supplies your needs. Jesus done paid the price. All you gotta do is call on the Lord and he'll give you what you need. I said he's all right. I said he's all right. I said he's Jesus. He's my Savior and my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What manner of man or person ought you to be? For this cause, because he paid the price, because he's done everything for us, it's time for us to do some things for ourselves. I know what it's like, church, to get into a mode to where you feel sorry for yourself and to want God to do everything for you. But I stopped by to tell you this morning, he's not going to do everything for us. He paid the price. We've got to do some things. We just simply need to be who he's called us to be. Love each other. Encourage each other. Support each other. Pray for each other. And remember, it's what God says about us, not what others say about us. May God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Let us all stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps there's somebody here today that maybe was not able to shout about what manner of person you ought to be because of what Jesus has done. If you're that person this morning and you have no joy in your heart, no peace, will you just raise your hand if you have no joy and no peace? Hallelujah. The Bible says, confessing with the mouth and believing in the heart that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If your soul is well with the Lord, you may be seated in his presence. God bless you, saints.